March 14, 2017, to Pledger. Staff stated that it had made numerous requests for a release on state lease number 17315 due to production information submitted not demonstrating lease maintenance of the said lease. OMR records show that the last date of royalty payments received on state lease number 17315 was in February of 2014. And as of July 2016, downhole operations ceased. Pledger was noticed that damages in the amount of $100 per day continues to accrue until the release of state lease number 17315 is properly recorded in the appropriate courthouse. Staff recommends that the board authorize the Attorney General's office to place Pledger on demand to release state lease number 17315 for non-performance and collect liquidated damages from Pledger in the amount of $100 per day until state lease number 17315 is released. In the event Pledger is non-compliant during the time requested in the demand letter, staff and the Attorney General's office ask the board for authority to file suit against Pledger for the release of state lease 17315.
Any questions or discussion?
I'll make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
I have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept the staff's recommendation. Do I have a second? Secretary Harris seconds. Any public comment? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries.
Item number 9 is a request by staff for authority to negotiate with Hunt Oil Company, Fieldwood Energy Offshore LLC, and Sandridge Energy Offshore LLC, collectively referred to as Hunt et al., for a settlement agreement covering approximately 0.338 unleased state acres being identified as lots 16, 30, 35, and 39 within the L. Chris 1RB SUA, KS Stewart number 1 well, which is situated in Stella Field, Pikeman's Parish, Louisiana. Thank you. Staff is recommending authority to negotiate.
All right. Motion. Questions or discussion? Mr. Hyde?
I move to accept.
Mr. Hyde moves to accept staff's recommendation. Do you have a second? Second by Ms. Misha Dugan. Any public comment? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries.
Item number 10 is a request by LLOX LLC to the State Mineral and Energy Board for authorization to escrow funds from the first date of production, August 7, 2016. Said funds derived from the production of disputed acres lying within the 9400 BTRCSUA located in Manila Village Field, Jefferson Parish, Louisiana. Further, LLOX requests the board extend the escrow authority to January 10, 2018. Pursuant to Resolution 17-02-009, dated February 8, 2017, the board granted authority to LLOX to escrow funds derived from the disputed acreage within the aforementioned unit, effective retroactive to January 17, 2017. The board further granted LLOX authority to escrow royalties in accordance with board's protocol until August 2017 board meeting. LLOX is now requesting authorization to escrow funds retroactive from first date of production, which occurred on August 7, 2016. And additionally, they are requesting an extension for escrow to January the 10th, 2018. Staff recommends final approval of these requests. And we also have representation in the office should we not be able to give you the answers you need.
Okay. Anybody have any questions or discussion? motion to accept staff's recommendation?
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Mr. Arnold to accept staff's recommendation. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Holmes. Any public comment? If not, all signify by saying aye. If none, signify by saying nay. The motion carries. Item 11.
Yes, sir. At the May 10th, 2017 State Minimum and Energy Board meeting, the board passed resolution Article 17-05-010, requesting that staff make suggested changes to paragraph A of the rewrite to Article 17 entitled Title Disputes, and to submit the suggested changes for the board's comments and review at the June 14, 2017 board meeting. The staff suggested changes are, notwithstanding any provision herein to the contrary, this lease is granted and accepted without any warranty of title and without any recourse against lessor whatsoever, either expressed or implied. It is expressly agreed that, except as lessor may expressly authorize hereafter, at its sole discretion, lessor shall not be required to return any payments received hereunder or be otherwise responsible to lessee therefore. However, in no event shall lessor be required to return any cash bonus payments or leasehold payments received hereunder or be responsible to lessee therefore. Lessor hereby disclaims any covenant of quiet title or peaceful possession of the lease premises. And we have in your binders, there's documentation, further explanation, and we have our legal team there to continue.
We're asking for approval to publish this draft of this particular paragraph. This is a little bit old business from the first group of lease articles.
I make a motion for approval.
Mr. Arnold makes a motion to grant the staff approval for its request to
publish.
For publishing. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Hollinshead. Any questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All against, signify by saying nay. The motion carries.
So item 12 is a report from staff to the State Minimum and Energy Board on the second tranche of the proposed State Minimum Lease Form articles, reports, and public comments. And if it's okay with the board, I think the legal staff will address each item so they are as posted in front of you.
You all are all familiar with this. We're taking these various sections of the lease. There was an original form. There was some proposed changes in the form in August 2016, and then there's been some revisions of that, and we're taking them in various sections of the lease. And this is our second group. Mr. Canfield?
Yes, Chairman. Blake Canfield, Executive Counsel, Department of Natural Resources. I was just going to go down the list in the order that it's in those in the agenda, unless you'll have desire to do it some other way. The first article is Article 1, bonus, and I just have to point out, because it is a bit confusing, the red line version that was published actually shows the changes from the existing lease language, the current lease form, and the August draft. So if you look between the August draft and the proposed rewrite, there actually is no change. So for bonus, there were no changes made to the August draft, there were no comments, so it essentially stays the same.
Make a motion to accept.
We have a motion by Mr. Hike to accept Article 1. Second. I think Secretary Harris was the second. Any questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye. All against, signify by saying nay. The motion carries.
Okay, so the second the article is primary term, which is Article 2 in the August lease. And the staff has made some significant changes here. You'll notice that the release and the August draft had special provisions for ultra-deep wells and also for secondary recovery, tertiary recovery operations. And so we're recommending that instead of picking just those two situations, that we create a more general option for getting an extension of the lease term, that this lease could be in effect for decades. We don't know what sort of situation may come up, and so we thought it might be better to give a broad discretion to come and request an amendment of the board. And for various reasons, we may not even be able to predict at this time. So that's how we structured it, and it does. So we think it actually gives a lessee more options to get that extension of time. It does require that be brought to the board 90 days prior to the expiration date. So that does put some burden on a lessee to know he needs that extension 3 months before the lease is gone. So that's how we have it set up. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer.
Anybody have any questions or discussion on this Article 2? We have a motion to accept by Mr. Arnold. Do you have a second? Second by Mr. Height. Is there any public comment? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye. All opposed signify by saying nay. Motion carries on item 2. Next one, item 12.
Article 12 is next up. There was a change from the August version.
What about Article 5? We've got Article 5 in the packet matched.
Well, looking at.
You going down the August proposed form road?
Looking at the legal title agenda, and it has lessor's rights next.
I see. It may be not over in the packet, that's all.
Yeah, they are.
Okay. Sorry.
So Article 5 is force majeure?
Yeah.
So it will, it is in the list.
Which one we take up on what?
Item 12. I mean Article 12, right?
Yes, we're doing Article 12. That's lessor's rights.
Doesn't happen to be appears in our.
It looks like they're in article order rather than. So they're there. All right, it's my computer.
Does the budget type or print on both pages, both sides of the page?
trying to stretch the state budget.
All right, if you've all found it, item Article 12, it's not many changes.
Really, the changes are not substantive. They just eliminate some language we thought was duplicative.
Make a motion to accept.
Mr. Hyde makes a motion to accept. The changes in the revisions on Article 12, lessor's right, seconded by Mr. Arnold. Public comment? Do we have any public comment? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye. All opposed signify by saying nay. The motion carries. I believe by Article 8. Is that right?
Yes, Article 8 is lessee reporting. The primary changes from the August draft is we've changed the language about what would be required. Currently, the August draft said if either the information or handbook was in the possession of the lessee or is reasonably accessible. We changed the term to reasonably available. That's consistent with it, the use of that term later on in the article, so we just wanted to make sure we're using the same term throughout. So the question is going to be whether or not whatever the office requests, data-wise, information-wise, is reasonably available to the lessee. The language also tends to address previous comments that have been received regarding the information or data that we might require of being too onerous. Reviewing other states' lease forms, we found that many of the other states did not have a reasonableness component, so we're actually a little bit more, in line with making sure we're not being overly onerous for something that a lessee wouldn't be expected to actually possess or be able to get. The second change, main change, was leaving specific formats in which certain well logs would be required to be submitted. Now the language is, again, just as requested by the Office of Mineral Resources, and again, the format would be subject to whether or not it's reasonably available to the lessee. And finally, we did delete liquidated damages for failure to comply with this article. The staff, after having reviewed it, didn't feel the liquidated damages were necessary based on, I guess, their past experience for this particular article.
Chairman, I have a question.
Yes, Mr. Height.
Give me an explanation again of why you're changing the words available and...
I think it was nothing more. If you go to, and I'm not sure that I'm looking at the exact version that's in your packets, but if you go further down in the document to the second paragraph under A, I guess it is, yeah, paragraph A, that begins upon request, lessee also shall furnish lessor with any other information. In the August version there, on the next line, they use the term reasonably available. And in the first paragraph, they use the term reasonably accessible. So we just want to be consistent. So it was either we were going to choose reasonably available or reasonably accessible when we decided to go with
it. Then put any further limitations on the...
No, I mean... I don't know if there. I don't see a difference between the two. There may be some, but I think we chose it just.
There was a lot of public comment on this the first round, and we kind of struck a compromise after hearing from public comments earlier.
Compromise.
That was with the August change. There was a change to add reasonably accessible for the August draft. And we changed accessible to available for this redraft.
All right. Next question I would have is with regards to the second paragraph. Upon request, lessee shall furnish lessor with any. Would you have an objection if we added the words "and all of information"?
I would not, but simply because it's still going to be that information which is reasonably available to lessee.
And I would make a motion that we add that those words "and all" after the word "any." Make a motion for an exception. I know, I'm being picky.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. There's some exception that could be made.
What all?
You may not want all.
Well, was
it's still was, I think upon request
that's a
and
opinion.
Was reasonably available. So I suppose so long as you still have those two caveats.
I just think there could be some. If we're going to ask for information, I want all the information, and the department's going to determine whether or not it's needed or not. So I didn't. I want it to be more inclusive rather than selective. So I made a motion that we include the words "and all." And Mr. King feels says he doesn't have any objection, so then it's second.
Speak up if you
I guess this board, and I guess my only comment would be is that if we start asking for all information, as long as we can give them a list, because I don't believe the state has a depository to keep cores and things of that nature, rock samples. So we could get into a large amount of data that's coming in that we don't need. But.
Well, you're not going to get private letters between the CEO and his girlfriend. What you're basically getting is information reasonably available to the lessee to keep lessor informed. You want all. And you make a determination thereafter as to whether or not it's something that you need.
Then does it get where you should list what all means?
I just think it's more inclusive, and I would, in my mind at least, that's what it should be.
I don't know how you can get any more inclusive than the word any.
Well, you and I agree sometimes, but most of the time we disagree, Mr. David.
No way. Okay. So you making a motion, and
he's going to second it.
Who seconded?
I'll second.
Okay. But can you state the motion again, just clarifying?
Yeah, to include the words and all afterwards, any.
In
the second paragraph of the proposed rewrite, clean version.
So we have a motion by Mr. Hyde, as stated, and a second by Mr. Hollinshead. Any questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, signify by saying aye.
Do you have one question?
Yes.
Is this your honorable public?
Yeah, we're approving these articles in these groups in principle for now. That's not a final approval, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, on the schedule. When we finish these reviews in December, is it? We will then do a final vote of approval on the new revised lease version. So this isn't your last opportunity to make a change or disagree or agree. Is that correct?
That's my understanding.
Yes.
Yeah. In November, we're going to have the final legal review and finalization, and then voting in December.
In December.
Okay.
So, anyone else? Do we vote? If not, we have a motion and a second. There's no comments by the public or the commission or the board or anyone else. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries.
So would we handle this like we did with title disputes last month, authority to post this? Or do we need to do that?
If a change is made, yeah, we.
I mean, we can repost it if it's the will of the board for public comments.
I guess we do have to figure that out. If we make a change from what is revised, and whether it's from the board or the public,
just as we did last
time.
It's up to you guys. There's no requirement for it to be reposted or not.
I guess it is going to be reposted at some time in the minutes, but also in November or December, right?
That's correct.
I will mention that we didn't.
I mean, I guess it's a staff call.
We didn't get that in comments this month.
Right, you only got two comments.
Mr. Chairman, if we don't do that, then what we're saying is, okay, staff, you rewrite the entire lease without any input from us, and I think it's important that we read exactly what it is that we're approving. And my purview that I ought to be able to have the opportunity to make an amendment to whatever the staff recommends to me.
Yeah, right. But I guess what y'all are
talking
about
public.
Is if you've made that, we
send it back to the public.
Vote to make your change, whoever it comes from, other than what this revision is being presented to us. They're talking about
advertising or...
But this is not making
final.
It public.
This is not final.
Right, right. Just final. Making it public for the public to know that everything's been changed from what has been publicly
published.
Presented and published.
Yeah, what's published is a draft, and so now the draft has changed because of the board's motion.
Right.
I think the way it would work is they will post it in the same location that this article currently is posted, and they'll just have a parenthesis that says revised behind it so that folks know that there's been another change.
Right. Okay. In a different color?
That I'm not sure about.
I got another motion.
I don't know. It's pretty expensive to print in color, so... okay, so...
I'd like to make another motion that it relates to the third paragraph under A, where it says, to the extent allowed by law, lessor agrees to keep confidential any information, and I would think that it would be appropriate to add the words, submitted under this article that is not already part of the public domain. Submitted under this article that is, and then pick up the word, not already part of the public domain.
Paragraph.
May it clarifies that information that we're dealing with. It relates to this particular article.
And where do you want to insert that?
Just from after the word information, where the words would be submitted under this article, that is, and you continue to pick up thereafter, not already part of the public domain. I don't think it changes the intent necessarily, Ms. Kinker, but I think it clarifies exactly what it is that we're keeping confidential.
Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think my read of it is that it's clarifying the confidentiality portion of this paragraph only applies to this article as opposed to say they have to submit some type of report elsewhere in the list form.
So I'll make a motion now. We accept the language that I just proposed.
And that's in item A in the third paragraph.
Yes.
Right. Of Article 8.
Yes.
So Ms. Hackett makes a motion for an insertion of language as just stated. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Cadero. And any public comment? If not, signify by saying aye. All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Item, the next one is 25, I guess.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Were you? No, we just did it.
Article 25 is entitled Conflict. Article 25 is probably near the end of your package. This article has been moved to the recitals, so we'll discuss the substance of it when we get there. But you can see in the prose rewrite that we reduced it to its essentials. We can discuss that here, or we can wait until we get to recitals.
Is those changes related to anything that Mr. Smart had commented on? Because his two comments were reserved to Article 5, force majeure, and recitals.
No, there were no.
No, we're not on that one.
No, but he said it moved to recitals.
Correct. It is, his comment regarding recitals wasn't this paragraph.
All right. All right, so.
So we reduced the size, kept the meaning, and we thought that the added language was problematic and was creating more problems than it was solving. So we reduced it to one sentence, which we thought captured the essence of the purpose of it, and then moved it to the sentence rather than having a separate article.
Any questions?
We have the rewrite on conflict of conflict.
You do. If you look at, I guess it's the third paragraph down, it says proposed rewrite track changes. And then under that, is a note that says staff has decided the location should be moved to recitals.
Okay.
And then next is the clean version of the paragraph above.
Is it in recitals in our packet?
It's our fourth signature page.
Yes.
All right, yeah, on the back.
Basically, what have you done with them? What have you done there?
We've taken this paragraph and reduced it to one sentence and then moved it to a different part of the lease.
And so what does it say now? What does the conflict say?
It says, during the term of this lease, the lessee shall comply with all federal, state, and local laws and regulations, whether now in effect or enacted in the future, in carrying out the provisions of this lease.
I make a motion to accept that.
Second. We have a motion to accept the change in Article 25, which will then be moved to recitals, by Mr. Hike, seconded by Secretary Harris. Any questions or discussion or public comment? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed signify by saying nay. Motion carries. 21.
The next article is Article 21, indemnity and hold harmless. The changes from the August version, there was, some typographical cleanup, some changes in wording, still holding the same meaning. We added at the start of it a statement of the lessee, including their successors and assigns. We did delete a parenthetical about halfway through that it talked about in the event that a party who was an assigned or sublessee, and whose assignment has not been approved by lessor, then basically any damage that they caused, they would still indemnify us. We ended up deleting the paragraph partially because we didn't want to unintentionally impact the transfers and assignment language, which we're going to go over in the next group, Article 4. We thought that these folks would already be covered by agents, representatives, subcontractors, licensees, invitees, and we also included successors and assigns earlier in the paragraph, so we think they'll fit into one of those categories, so right, they're already protected, and we avoid any confusion this may cause with Article 4 later on. And then finally, we deleted the language that limited activities and operations where the state would be indemnified. We took away the requirement that the activity operation had to be upon or under the lease premises. And I guess the concern there was there could be some action that needs to be taken in response to an emergency that actually is going to be off the lease premises, but we might still be held responsible because either we have an interest in the unit operations or it's a blowout that occurs on our lease, but you have something going off site. So we just wanted to make sure there wasn't a loophole there. So that was deleted. But those were the main comments. And Mr. Smart did not comment on this, so we didn't have any additional comments on this problem.
Okay, any questions or discussion? Mr. Hike.
I move to adopt.
Mr. Hike moves that we adopt the changes to Article 21. Do we have a second? Second by Ms. Misha Dugan.
Any public comment? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. 20, I believe?
Yes, next article is Article 20, Notices. The changes from the August draft can be summarized by they rearrange the location where the office address is located, as well as stated that the address the lessee has registered with the Office of Mineral Resources would be the controlling address if the office is sending notices to them. We then go through the date on which notice is deemed to have been delivered with different situations. It's the same day as delivery if the notice is hand-delivered. It's upon the date of deposit in the U.S. mail when it's been properly addressed, registered, certified, with the return receipt. Or in the event that someone does the next day overnight courier service, then it would be the following day after that after they submit it there. And then finally, I think this is in paragraph D. Let's see. Yeah. In paragraph B, we're just making clear that there's a 10-day delay that first the lessee has to notify us of the change of address, and then they have to notify us with 10 days prior to that change for it to be controlling on the notices sent out by the office. Other than that, there were no changes made, and again, there were no comments received.
Any questions or discussion? I mean, I did notice in your addition, and what's common in contracts, as you struck out above, unless you put 10, you wrote out 10, but you didn't put the number 10 if you want to include that.
Okay. We can definitely do that either now or, I guess, at the end when we're going to the legal review.
Just a, anybody have any questions or discussion?
Motion to accept it.
All right, we have a motion by Secretary Harris to accept those provisions in Article 20. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Hollinshead. Any discussion, questions, public comments? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye. All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Next one is item 22.
If you'll look just past where you were on Article 20, for Article 22, you'll see it stricken out. The title was No Warranty of Title. And we're recommending to split this with two paragraphs here and move them to two other parts. The first paragraph A, we discussed that earlier today, that was now into Article 17. That's the one it was old business that we talked about at the beginning. The second paragraph, B, we have recommended moving that to recitals.
So there's no changes, but just removed to, there you are, moved to those different articles.
Well, A was actually discussed last month, and we did make changes, and you saw that when we first started talking about this. And B, we didn't make any changes to that. We merely moved it.
And the article of No Warranty Title will no longer exist.
Yes.
Because it's included in those other sections.
That's correct.
All right. Any questions? Discussion? Any public comment? Not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Next one, I guess, is item 15.
Correct. Article 15, Financial Security. From the August version, the two changes that we made was we combined paragraphs B and C. We got rid of the specific citation of the Office of Conservation Regulation dealing with financial security for a couple of reasons. One, there's been a lot of legislation on financial security and how Office of Conservation handles both that along with inactive wells. The section within the Office of Conservation Rules dealing with inactive wells that also affects financial security is not in section LAC 4319, subsection 104. So we still are requiring that they comply with the Office of Conservation Rules, as was the case in the August version. We just don't reference the specific citation because it has continued to change, and we want to make sure that we this article is, still correct as time goes on, if there are any future changes. That was essentially the change, and again, no comments received.
I've got a question on this section.
Yes, sir.
I've got a question on this section. Basically, when you say maintain financial security, I'm looking at, under proposed rewrite, C section, I don't see any qualifications for, or should there be any qualifications for financial security, such as, posting a performance bond, or, how do we know? How do we have the security, if you will, the comfort level, if you will, that this lessee is financially secure with the language we have here? Explain that to me.
So the language would merely require that they follow these statutes and regulations for Office of Conservation Financial Security. The Office of Conservation Financial Security currently requires for new wells, new drills, and for transfer of existing wells, the financial security be put into place. And they've got different amounts of financial security that have to be put in place depending on the location of the well. If it's a land location, located in an inland lake or bay, or in a water location. So it's tied to the well itself. It's not, it is not tied to, for instance, the financial stability of the company. It requires an LOC, CD, pledge of a CD, or a performance bond. In a certain amount, which is set forth by the Office of Conservation.
Basically, what we're saying here is that we're divesting ourselves, if you will, of requiring, divesting it to the Office of Conservation to evaluate the financial security of that lessee. Right.
We would not have a different amount. It would be whatever the conservation requires.
I don't think you're deferring to conservation, but you're just using their guidelines for the security amount.
Correct. They would have to follow the Office of Conservation requirements for the amount.
Why could we not impose our own financial qualifications, such as a performance bond based on what the investment might be? Why do that, is what I'm saying.
Well, there was a lot of discussion, and unfortunately I wasn't here when they made the initial change to the version in August when that decision was made, but my understanding was there were a couple of thoughts. One, making sure that you would not have a different requirement on state land that you may have on private land.
Right.
Secondly, there was some concern about the ability for staff to track financial security for all state lessees. I think those are two reasons that I remember.
Conservation already has these financial security requirements in place. In this, we're just telling them that they have to abide by those same rules.
Correct. And so they would have to show upon request proof that they have met the conservation requirements, but that would be the enforcement mechanism from Office of Natural Resources side.
Right.
Well, we don't know what that is. I mean, if you ask me, Mr. Hike, what is the criteria? I could tell you I don't know.
Well, and truly the criteria may change going forward too,
yeah.
Which is why we don't include a specific reference.
Who makes the changes? Commissioner of Conservation.
Commissioner of Conservation.
And why should
through regulation.
He's the only one making those changes.
Well, the legislature could change them also.
Conservation operates within the Department of Natural Resources, but they handle private land.
So the Commissioner of Conservation has authority separate and apart from the Secretary or the rest
right.
of the department, but they handle all wells regardless of whether it's state-owned, on state-owned land or not.
My responsibility is the state. state leases, and not the private leases. And it seems to me that I ought to be satisfied as to the financial stability of whomever it is that I'm going to be leasing state lands to. And under this scenario, guess what? I bet you not one of us on this memo board can tell exactly what the financial security is with regards to those state leases.
Secretary Harris?
I may not be able to cite it to you, but I certainly know exactly where to find it, and it's in the Office of Conservation Rules. It's regulation that has to be followed drilling anywhere in the state. I think it would be poor public policy to implement standards different from elsewhere in the state for state lands. It would discourage drilling, discourage production on state lands. The rules for financial security were based on ensuring the state is covered. And the Commissioner of Conservation really has responsibility for looking out for the state's interests statewide, both on state lands and private lands. Those financial security requirements were directed by Office of Conservation, was directed to promulgate those rules by the legislature.
I understand that, Mr. Secretary, but I also understand that, you know, rules can be promulgated, rules can be changed.
Circumstances
change. I'm not very comfortable with.
So you don't feel that we should stay consistent with conservation?
Well, I'd like to know what, you know, I'd like to know what the standards are. I'd like to know how rigid they are. I'd like to know how you change them. We have a different responsibility than the Commissioner of Conservation. And maybe I'm being overly cautious about it, but if we have a responsibility to protect the state lands, then we ought to know exactly what it is that is being required of these companies in terms of financial stability and not just give it to another arm, if you will, of DNR.
Well, we're not giving it to a different arm of DNR. It's spelled out in statute and regulation both. The specifics are in regulation, but the general approach is directed by the legislature and statute.
The way we wrote this was to create a contractual obligation in addition to the regulatory obligation that conservation would impose. The way we set our obligation, though, was that it would be satisfied if conservation's standards were met.
I remember the discussion that we had about 3 years ago when we first started the process of looking at a new lease, where we sat in a big room across the hall over there and had industry all there, et cetera. And, of course, industries want to minimize whatever their, quote, financial exposure would be, and that was one of the big concerns at that time. I don't recall how it was resolved then, but they were certainly concerned about what requirements they would have to meet, and I understand that to a certain extent, but I'm not satisfied in my own mind. This language gives me the comfort, if you will, of knowing that the financial security of a lessee of state lands is financially secure. When we just give that authority to the Commissioner of Conservation. If it's in statute, we need to put the statute in. We need to look at what the statute says about financial security requirements. I don't have an answer to that at this particular point. I do remember it was a bone of significant discussion back then. I understand that to a certain extent, the differences in terms of authority between the DNR and the Secretary and Commissioner of Conservation, but personally, I think this area should be looked at a little bit more carefully, and I'm not prepared at this moment to make a motion because but I am going to get prepared to do that at a later date. I'm just bringing this to the attention of the board. I don't think that